The Talmud. It is ironic that Hitler anticipated the psychology of the big lie in his remarks on the subject in Chapter 10 of Mein Kampf. It is also ironic that the most mind-boggling invented accounts of exterminations appear in the Jewish Talmudic literature, in connection with the last two of the three great Jewish revolts against the Roman Empire, the Diaspora Revolt of 115-117 AD, and the Palestine Revolt of 132-135 AD. In connection with the Palestine Revolt of 66-70 AD, the Talmudic writings do nothing more than bewail the loss of the Temple in Jerusalem, and discuss the implications of the loss for Jewish law. A good discussion of the three revolts is given in Michael Grant's The Jews in the Roman World. According to the ancient accounts, mainly Cassius Dio, who wrote around 200 AD, and Eusebius, the early 4th century bishop of Caesarea, the Diaspora Revolt started in Cyrenaica, northeast Libya, at a time when the Emperor Trajan had, for the purpose of annexing Parthia and its valuable Mesopotamian territory, constituted a huge eastern army, at the price of withdrawing many small contingents that had served to keep order in various parts of the empire. The Jews attacked the Greek and Roman civilian populations, and it is said they killed 220,000 in Cyrenaica, amusing themselves in various gruesome ways. The revolt then spread to Egypt, where the Jews killed an unknown number, and to Cyprus, where they are said to have killed 240,000. In Alexandria, however, the predominantly Greek population gained control of events, and are said to have massacred the Jews of that city. Recent archaeological evidence indicates that the ancient accounts are not exaggerated. The Talmud says almost nothing about this revolt, except to give the number of Jews killed in Alexandria as, quote, 60 myriads on 60 myriads, twice as many as went forth from Egypt, unquote, meaning 1,200,000, on the assumption that addition and not multiplication is intended. The killings are blamed on the Emperor Hadrian, which may be due to the fact that Hadrian was at the time the commander of Trajan's eastern army, and succeeded Trajan as emperor when Trajan died in 117, possibly before the final suppression of the revolt. The figure given for the number of Jewish victims is obviously exaggerated, for, while it is usually difficult to be more than approximately correct in estimating the populations of ancient cities, Alexandria of the period had a population of 500,000 or more, with an upper bound of 1 million a reasonable one to assume, because that was the approximate population of the city of Rome, a figure concerning which there is also some uncertainty, but if Rome ever attained a population significantly greater than 1 million, it never got near 2 million. The 1,200,000 martyred Jews may seem a brazen invention, but you haven't seen anything yet. The next great revolt was in Palestine in 132-135, and was a serious attempt by its leader, Bar Kokhba, to set up a Jewish state with himself as king, although he eventually claimed to be the Messiah. During the revolt, he made laws, issued money, and performed the other regular functions of government. Bar Kokhba's end came in 135. Jerusalem not being suitable to withstand a siege, he led the remnant of his army to the village of Bether, the present Bitter, which is located on high ground about 10 miles southwest of Jerusalem, 25 miles from the Dead Sea and 35 miles from the Mediterranean. The dimensions of the ancient town were roughly rectangular, with a north-south length of about 600 meters, and an east-west width of about 200 meters. The south half of the town was fortified. These dimensions, plus the fact that the estimates for the Jewish population of Palestine of the time range from a low of 500,000 to a high of 2.5 million, make it unlikely that Bar Kokhba's Bether army numbered as many as 50,000 men. The Romans laid siege to Bether in the summer of 135, and Bar Kokhba's resistance collapsed in August. The Romans broke into the fortress, and Bar Kokhba was killed in that final battle. For general reasons, it seems unlikely that the Romans carried out a massacre of the Jewish population of Bether. The only quote-unquote evidence for a general massacre occurs in the Talmudic literature, including in this context the Midrash Rabbah, which for reasons unknown comments extensively on the siege of Bether and its supposed aftermath. Except where noted, the Talmudic passages are reproduced in the appendix to the book Bar Kokhba by the archaeologist Yigal Yadin. The size of Bar Kokhba's Bether army is given as 200,000 men. Bar Kokhba is said to have been so tough that, when the Romans catapulted missiles into his fort, he would intercept the missiles with his knee with such force, that he would knock them back into the faces of the astonished Romans, killing many. The Talmud goes on to claim that the number of Jews killed by the Romans after the fortress fell, was 4 billion, quote, or as some say, unquote, 40 million, while the Midrash Rabbah reports 800 million martyred Jews. In order to reassure us that these figures are given in earnest, the necessarily accompanying events are set forth. The blood of the slain Jews reached to the nostrils of the Romans' horses, and then, like a tidal wave, plunged a distance of 1 mile or 4 miles to the sea, carrying large boulders along with it, and staining the sea a distance of 4 miles out. The Jewish school children of Bether, according to the Talmudic literature, were of course not spared by the Romans, who are said to have wrapped each of them in a scroll, and then burned all of them, the number of these school children having been either 64 million or at least 150,000, the approximate present public school population of Washington, D.C. The Romans matched the Germans in efficiency, for the bodies of the slain Jews were used to build a fence around Hadrian's Vineyard, which is said to have been 18 miles square, and blood saved over from the tidal wave was used to fertilize Roman vineyards for 7 years. Shades of soap, glue and fertilizer factories. It is also claimed that Bar Kokhba, usually referred to in the Talmudic literature as Bar Kozeba, it is still not clear what his real name was killed by rabbis for falsely claiming to be the Messiah. The Talmudic literature was not intended for general circulation, so its authors could exercise more freedom than the inventors of the 6 million hoax, who had to assess the gullibility of a possibly skeptical Gentile audience. However, the spirit of the Talmudic accounts in the above instances seems remarkably similar to the spirit of our century's hoax. In this connection, it may be noted that it is not really anomalous that a Talmudic scholar such as Rabbi Weissmandel plays a possibly significant role in the hoax. Also, because Rabbi Weiss translated a good deal of ancient and medieval Jewish literature, and also founded a Jewish seminary, he may also have some claim to being a Talmudic scholar. One suspects that such scholars might have been exactly the type required to give birth to the hoax.